And so as we continue on in our sermon series, taking a look at the scriptures that Jesus used, I find it so fascinating throughout scripture that Jesus has taken upon himself to use and utilize scripture and really making it one of those things where he uses it as an offensive weapon. And so we're going to take a look. We've been talking in Luke chapter 4 verses 1 through 15, but we're going to take a look at Luke chapter 4 verses 5 through 8 today. So if you've got your cell phones, if you've got your tablets, if you've got your paper Bibles, let's dig in really quick this morning. And it's just a beautiful thing. So this, again, is the second temptation of Jesus. Satan has taken him away. The Spirit led Jesus out, and Satan followed him, really. So this is the second temptation that the devil has placed in front of Jesus' life. So I want to start with verse 5. And so it says, "Then the devil took him up and revealed to him all of the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. I will give you the glory of these kingdoms and authority over them, over all of them," the devil said, "because they're mine to give anyone I please. I will give it all to you if you worship me." Well, Jesus replied, "The scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him." And so as we think about this this temptation, these three temptations of Jesus, also mentioned in another gospel, the Gospel of Matthew, as we think of the temptations of Jesus, I don't know about you, but I find some of this a little confusing, that the devil takes Jesus to a high place and somehow shows Jesus like the entire world at one moment. All of the kingdoms. I'm not sure how the devil does this, or we really don't know through Scripture how Jesus was able to see all of the kingdoms of the earth. It's not really evident, but the devil did it nonetheless. The devil showed Jesus all of the kingdoms of the world. And that, and it's just, it kind of freaks me out a little bit, because as we think of like the devil and all of his power or lack thereof, right? We're always thinking, well, the devil's not very powerful, and we're not sure, why does he claim certain thing? He's claiming an amazing, amazing thing that I have all of the kingdoms of the earth, the devil said, and I can give them to whoever I want to. Did you guys catch that in that? That's a little bit freaky. That's weird. I mean, so as you read scripture, we're looking at this and we're saying, wow, how on earth is it that the devil has been given really all of the kingdoms of the world? And so I had to like stop here when I was reading and I was preparing for the sermon. I had to stop and just really say, wait a minute, let's tap the brakes here for a second. Does Satan really truly have all of those authorities that he claims? Well, let's just say this. Do you agree with me? Do you agree with me that Satan is the father of lies? Doesn't Scripture say that? Satan is the father of lies. And so we realize that Satan himself is kind of puffing himself up. This is something we can kind of analyze through Scripture and pull out to say that Satan is the father of lies. So he's going along, he's saying, hey, Jesus, guess what? I've got all authority in heaven. I've got all authority on earth. I've got all these kingdoms of the earth, and I can bestow it upon you. And so as believers, we read scripture, and we have to remember who is talking here. The father of lies. Satan's a liar. He's a liar. And I truly believe that for some reason, he has believed in his life that he has authority and control over all these kingdoms. But maybe even if it wasn't a lie, I'm just trying to dig deep in this one. Let's just, for example, say that he does have authority over all of the kingdoms of the world. Let's just say, for example, he's speaking truth to Jesus in this moment. So I was just kind of thinking that, yeah, maybe he has authority. Maybe he has authority, but not necessarily the ownership of. So as we see that in Scripture tells us clearly throughout the Scripture that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. In Psalm chapter 22, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. So then how can Satan say that's his? Well, let me just give you an example. If I were to loan you my car for a long extended period of time, maybe you needed a car for 6 months, I would still be the owner of it, but yet I would loan you my car. The car would be yours. You'd have to give it oil changes. You'd have to make sure that there's tires are on it, that make sure there's gasoline in it, et cetera, et cetera. So I think what Satan is really kind of saying is that we all know that the earth and everything under the earth is the Lord's, but he's been giving me a little test drive for a little while. You see, that's how I look at that. So when we realize that God owns it all, but yet Satan can still be the ruler of this earth, it kind of makes a little bit more sense. So I hope it makes sense to you. I know I went by that quick, but I just wanted to make sure because I paused there for a second and kind of, wait a minute, how does Satan have all of the kingdom of the world? I think God's just simply saying, yeah, Satan, you can play for a little bit. You can play around for a little bit. And so as we think of Jesus being tempted, we're seeing that this kind of temptation, it could have been pretty deep for Jesus. What was the first one? Remember, we talked about it last week. Jesus was fasting for 40 days, and he was starving. And Satan simply said, Jesus, turn that rock into a loaf of bread. And we get it, right? We understand. He was hungry. That was a temptation. And Jesus, he passed the test and said, you know, no, man does not live by bread alone. And so we moved on to number two. Satan decides to say, listen, all right, since you're not hungry, or maybe you just don't like bread, Jesus, what about all the kingdoms of the world? What about all the authority that's given to me? I can give it to you. See, what was Satan trying to accomplish here? I mean, what was the temptation that he was trying to put in front of Jesus? You see, the very temptation that Satan was trying to put in front of Jesus was simply saying, all you have to do is bow down and worship me. Just once. All you have to do is bow down and worship me, and I will give you all of the power of all of the kingdoms of the earth. And so you see the temptation that Satan was really throwing him at him was a sense of lordship and authority. And you see, Satan knew that if he could get Jesus to simply skip ahead and claim the authority that he's been given anyway, just by skipping one simple step. Do you know what that simple step was? That little simple step that Satan wanted Jesus to skip to claim all the kingdoms and authority, that one simple step was the cross. Was the cross. You see, this was a big deal. You see, Satan was offering Jesus a shortcut. He was offering Jesus a shortcut. He said, listen, all you gotta do is bow down to me and skip to the chase. Satan knows that Jesus was the creator of everything, that Jesus has all authority under heaven and earth, and Satan was just offering him a shortcut. You see, Satan was offering a kingdom without a cross. He was offering a kingdom without a cross. And he was also offering Jesus power without pain. You see, it was a shortcut. It was a simple shortcut. You see, don't think for a moment that the cross was easy for Jesus to bear. Don't think for a moment that Jesus knew that he had to die and suffer for our sins. Don't think for a moment that Jesus wasn't scared to die. He was fully human. And Satan knew exactly the temptation point. He said, listen, just take a shortcut to all the kingdoms. All you got to do is bow before me. And you and I both know if Jesus bowed before him, oh my goodness, we probably wouldn't be here today. So Jesus knew what lay before him. And Satan was offering Jesus a way to gain authority without going through all of it. And so all Jesus had to do was just fall down at the feet of Satan and worship him. But this is the beauty. This is what Jesus did. In a hard time, in a hungry time, in a lonely time, in a dangerous time, Jesus replied with Scripture. He replied with Scripture. He replied straight out of Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I'm going to read this for you because, man, this is so powerful. So Jesus was simply said this. Let me just read. He simply was just off the cuff, And it says this. Jesus replied, Scripture says, you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And again, if I'm looking at Luke chapter 4, that is not a really good comeback. Can I just be honest? If you're the Son of God, and Jesus said, or Satan said, worship me, you know, and simply Jesus was just simply like saying, well, you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only. I would kind of, if I were Satan, I'd kind of say, Jesus, you should have a little bit better of a comeback than that. Don't you think? I mean, am I the only one thinking that? Like, boy, Jesus, that was kind of a weak comeback. I think you're the creator of the world. You could probably do something better. But you know what? If we're reading that for face value, that's what that feels like. But guess what? Jesus, in the Jewish way, he simply quotes a small portion of Scripture in which he means to allude to the full passage. Did you understand what I just said? The Jews would go about their day and simply say, yes, this is for the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And what they were simply saying was not just that passage, but the entire thing that wraps around it. Let me give you an example. Jesus said this. He said to Satan, you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only. That's all he said, but guess what he was alluding to? He was alluding to this. Now listen, 15 verses, so hold on, don't fall asleep. This is good stuff because this is the scripture that Jesus used to battle Satan himself. So you should listen. This is what Jesus said in those few small words. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1. These are the commands, the decrees and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that your children and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey. Just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, and with all of your soul, and all of your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them. I love this one. This is awesome. Verse 8. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and of your gates. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you the land with large, flourishing cities that you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Then, when you eat and you are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Verse 13. Fear the Lord your God, serve him only, and take your oaths in his name. Do not follow other gods, the gods of his peoples around you. For the Lord your God who is among you is a jealous God, and his anger will burn against you, and he will destroy you from the face of the land. That's what Jesus said. That's what Jesus said to Satan. And Satan had no other, you got me there. You see, what Jesus was speaking of was simply saying, honor the Lord. Guess what? He has blessed you so much. He has given you access to olive gardens, not the restaurants, but groves of olives that you didn't even plant or even work to till the ground. God has blessed you so greatly. He has given you homes that you didn't even build, and blessed you so beautifully. And so he says this, worship him, give him glory. Do not bow down to any other God but the one who is your provider, Jehovah Jireh. Do not give credence to any other than him and him alone, because he's a jealous God. He's a God that is angry. He is a God that is full of righteous judgment. And if we dare bow down to anyone else, his wrath will be upon us. Whew. Are you blown away? I hope you're blown away this morning. Because the scripture that Jesus used is pretty deep. It's pretty crazy. It's pretty awesome. And I'm just thinking, wow, Jesus, you knew what you're talking about. We don't. Most of the time. And so we see that Jesus using this scripture, fear the Lord your God, serve him only, take your oaths only in his name, do not follow other gods or the peoples around you. For the Lord God is among you. He's a jealous God. His anger will burn against you, and he will destroy you from the face of the land. Whoa. So Satan's temptation for Jesus to take a shortcut. Satan's temptation for Jesus is just do the quick thing. You know, without the cross, you could do this without the cross. And Jesus is like, no way, man. You know where we are to be. We're to give God the praise and the honor. And so the lesson that we can learn from all of this, obviously, is to give God our worship, give God understanding, give God everything, and don't bow down to anything else. But don't take a shortcut that Satan offers you. Don't take a shortcut that Satan offers you. You know, there's such dangers in shortcuts. I like shortcuts when you're driving, right? You try to figure out how to get there the fastest. I'm all about shortcuts when driving. I'm all about that. I'm trying to figure out how to get to this point between point A and point B. Let's do that. That's cool. But you know what? There's certain things in your life you can't take shortcuts. You can't take a shortcut in your faith. You can't take a shortcut in your faith. You can't ride the coattails of your parents' faith. You can't just simply come to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and say, yep, this is my shortcut to heaven. There should be a song written about that. There's Highway to Hell. Shortcut to heaven. So my shortcut to heaven is just simply coming to church each and every week, checking off my box, and simply saying, yep, that's my shortcut. Works for me. There's no shortcuts in your faith. Faith is a hard thing. Christianity is tough. For those within the sound of my voice this morning, for those who are watching on Facebook Live today, I'm not going to lie to you. Christianity is hard. And there's no shortcuts when it comes to your faith. There's no shortcuts when it comes to family. When it comes to your family, there's no shortcuts. I'm telling you, I wish there was. Raising 3 teenage boys right now, I wish I could hit fast forward and everything would be perfect at the end of it. But it ain't gonna happen. There's no shortcuts to raising good, quality men of God who are leaders in their household. There's no shortcut. It's going to take a lot of hard work for my wife and myself and a bunch of you. Right? And it's the same truth with all of us. It takes a village. It takes a church to raise a bunch of kids. And it takes all of us because there's no shortcuts in our family. There's no shortcuts. If I want to have an amazing marriage with my wife, if I want to have an amazing marriage in my life, I just can't push the easy button and just simply say, yeah, I'm going to take a shortcut and everything will be fine. No, it's hard work. Marriage is hard work. It's hard. And there's no shortcuts. You've got to spend the time. You've got to communicate. You've got to be submissive. You've got to be in communication. I mean, there's no shortcuts to a good, solid marriage. There's no shortcut in our finances. A lot of us wish there was. You know, you're all, you know, you're playing the lottery and just kind of, oh, I'm going to win the lottery one of these days because there's a shortcut in our finances. No. There's no shortcut. I mean, I'm not a financial expert, but I know the fact is that if you don't work hard and you don't earn a living and if you don't trust in God for everything in your finances, that he is your provider, there's no shortcuts. God is your provider, and he's the one that blesses you with your finances. And so I can keep going on and on and on. But Satan's temptation to Jesus himself was a shortcut. It was a simple, hey, just get this done. We can cut to the chase. I'll give you a kingdom without the cross. And so today I think what I'm trying to say for all of us is that if we're going to fulfill God's call in our lives, if we're going to fulfill God's call on your life, you've got to resist. You must resist and do what you know that you need to do, is work hard in your faith. Don't take a shortcut. Don't take Satan's temptation. Don't take his way out. Work hard in your faith. So you understand that God is the provider of all. He's the one. And Jesus kept reminding Satan. Jesus kept reminding Satan of it. And Satan's like, oh, okay, I've got one more. I've got one more temptation. Next week, as the band comes forward, next Sunday, we're going to talk about Satan, his favorite scripture. Satan's favorite scripture. And you think, what? What is that all about? Yeah, Satan knows the Bible too. And so we're going to talk about how Satan uses scripture in life, and it's just going to be fun. So we're going to talk about that. So don't want to miss it tomorrow or next Sunday. How Satan himself uses scripture. But today I want us to be encouraged. I want you to be faithful. Be faithful in understanding who your provider is. That there's no shortcuts in life. It takes a lot of hard work and a whole lot of Holy Spirit power in your life. Let's stand together. So, Father God in heaven, we are grateful. We're so grateful for the example of Jesus. The one who knows and the one who's just amazing, God, in our example. And thank you for his example of strength and using scripture and understanding, God. Help us. Let's let that soak in today in our personal lives. Lord, today I don't want to take any shortcuts when it comes to my faith. I don't want to take any off-road journeys and that takes me away from you, God. And Satan wants to do that for us. And I pray, God, if there are some in here today that have been given into temptation, given into that temptation of taking the bait of Satan that just simply get a shortcut in life or in your faith or in your marriage, or I pray, God, today that you would strengthen them and that they would draw close in a special way. So, Lord, this morning, in our gathering together today, I pray that your Spirit would just come close and refresh and revive our hearts in you today.